How's that? Whoa. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your love. And God, we just thank you that we can meet together again. And Lord, that you're keeping your people safe. And so we just praise you. And let's pray as we look into the scripture this morning that you would just continue to open our eyes to the insights you're giving us, to the depths of how you see the world and how you're working, God, and to be our encouragement. So we just praise you for that. So, Lord, I just pray right now that you just anoint me. I just speak words of the Spirit, and each heart would be open to receive and have an impact that people could find confidence in their lives, find confidence in facing this world, find confidence in calling out to you. So we thank you for your word, and we thank you for what you've revealed to us in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to be looking, and we're in the book of Romans, so we're going to start off, and we're going to be focusing on Romans chapter 5, verse 17. So turn to the book of Romans, chapter 5, verse 17. Read this. For if, because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Now, it's going through Romans. I need to remind you, you know, we talked about this as Romans is a good book of systematic theology, meaning it's systematic and it's revealing things we need to know. And so as we come up to this, and it's good, you can read verses like this and different things to be encouraged. But the thing of it is that Paul has put this in an order and he's making a point. So the big picture is important to kind of keep in your mind here. And so what we have here is, again, we talked about chapter 3, you know, and I made the kind of bold statement. I think chapter 3 is like one of the most important chapters in the Bible. It talks about our salvation. We talked about the word propitiation, you know, and it's explained in chapter 3 of what Christ did for us. And then in chapter 4, it's like faith, you know, we trust Christ by faith. And chapter 4 tells us all about faith and gives us an example, and it's really powerful. And then we talked last week about chapter 5, the first 6 verses, and that God says, okay, now that you're justified, I've made you right, now I'm going to do some training with you, okay? So you can just see how that's unfolding like that. Now the rest of Romans chapter 5, from verse 7 to the end of the chapter, is really what the Lord has put forth, Paul has put forth, is how God sees the world. It's how he looks at the world. You know, we snap back and we look at the world and we see all these countries and all these languages and all these races. That's not the way God looks at it. And so what he does here, he gives us a view of how he looks at it to give us a better understanding about our place in it. Okay, so that's what he's trying to do. So we want to look at this, and I encourage you, like in all the chapters, you need to read chapter 3 to get the whole thing of it. You need to read chapter 4 to get the whole view of it. So I'm just highlighting. You need to read chapter 5 to get the whole view. So I'm just highlighting it. And so this is where we are this morning, and I entitled the message Two Men. Two Men. Now, a better title would be Reign in Life. Okay, and that even sounds better, doesn't it? Reign in Life. And in Woods, when he posted, he probably should put that as a title. Reign in Life, okay, where we are. But what I wanted to really focus on is two men. Two men. And what chapter 5 is about two men. And I know in years back, I would read through chapter 5, and I'd think, you know, God is just talking about two men. It's like there's nobody else in the world but these two men. And I thought that was strange. I mean, it was like, well, I couldn't understand why he would do that. It didn't seem like he was bringing in, connecting. Have you noticed every time I think something like that, the Lord goes, that's just because you don't understand. And later on, it's like, this is the center point that you skipped over. It's like, I can't tell you how many times that's happened to me. But so I want to talk about this morning two men, because that's what chapter 5 is about, two men. And again, it's like these are when you read it, it's like these are the only two men in the world. Why? Well, let's look at it. First of all, we know that the one man here is Adam. And Adam, think back, Adam was created and he was spiritually alive. And we need to remember that. God didn't make Adam defective. Okay? God made Adam. He's spiritually alive and he has a relationship with God. That's the way Adam was. That was the way Adam was created. So, because Adam was spiritually alive and he was perfectly created, he is a type of Christ. Now just hold that in your mind. He is a type of Christ. God created Adam, the man, the way he's supposed to be. And he's a type of Christ who is ultimately a man, the way man is supposed to be. Y'all with me? We want to say, where's the perfect man? It's just Jesus, all right? And so Adam is a type of Christ. And so we look at that. We know this one man here God is talking about is Adam. However, Adam sinned, and Adam, when he sinned, died immediately. Immediately he died spiritually. Now later, he died physically. See, you think back on, God didn't create Adam to die. He didn't create Adam to die physically. He didn't create Adam to die spiritually. But because he sinned, he died spiritually immediately. There's separation from God. And then later on, he died physically. So here's, that was Adam's situation. Now, since Adam, I remember, there are two men, and we're talking about the first man here, Adam. And so we need to understand who he is. Now, since Adam is spiritually dead because he sinned, all his offspring, just like him, are spiritually dead. You with me? Okay? Because Adam couldn't die spiritually and then give birth, he and Eve give birth to spiritual alive kids. No, he's dead and all his kids are spiritually dead just like him. Just like him. And that means they're separated from God. So, he died spiritually immediately. His offspring, he gives birth to offspring that are spiritually dead and ultimately, physically will die. So, the first man, Adam, notice what I said. The first man, Adam, has affected the whole of mankind. Through Adam, death reigns. That's what this verse said. Now we see why, don't we? Okay, he's telling us. He really wants us to understand that. So, all are separated from God and all die. That's where we are. That's where we are with Adam. All are separated and all die. Remember, Adam was spiritually alive. Was not separated. He sinned. Now he's separated. All his offspring. Everybody is separated from God and they all die. And that's the reason the term death reigns. By the way, do you know anyone who hasn't died physically? Now, I mean, it's going to happen physically. Death reigns. And you can see the reign is totally complete. Totally complete the reign of death here. And so God's explaining this to us. Now, God's countermeasure, praise Jesus, okay, God's countermeasure for Adam's failure was another man. See, this is what this is saying. God's countermeasure is another man. Another physical man. You can reach, pinch his cheek. Right? Was another man. And that other man was Jesus Christ. Now, Paul now has presented all men as sinners, and Christ has come to save all men through the one man, all sinners. Now through the other man, Jesus, he has come to save the sinners. One man, all sin. Another man has come to save sinners. She's making a point here. People say, gosh, I wish everybody knew. This is kind of humorous, but at one point they all knew. It happened to be Adam, but he was all. There's only one there, but he knew. See, he did know. There was a point everybody knew. Even think about Noah. They had the flood. You had like a few people. They all knew. So it doesn't make any difference all people know or what. You know, it's men are men. And so he's explaining this to us. So, again, Paul has presented here all men as sinners, and Christ came to redeem them. Now, here's the point. The first man, the one man, and again, the term, I'm not repeating this. God is repeating this. He says it over. Okay. The first man, the one man, Adam, there was one law, and there was one trespass. He just gave him one thing, and he disobeyed it. Okay? One man, one law, one trespass. Okay? And here we are. Here we are. So God, it's real simple. I think it's real simple in God's mind. Say, no, this is how we got here. Just like Adam, that's how you got here. That's how we got here. Now, what we have here, Adam was disobedient. He was disobedient. But it was more than disobedience. You know, I think kind of disobedience is kind of superficial. You know, I mean, it's true, but there's a depth to it. And what's exposed here is Adam, the nature of disobedience, what Adam showed us here, he was disobedient, certainly was. But the nature of disobedience is not immorality, and it's not wrongdoing. But what it is the independence in each one of us that says, I am my own God. Don't tell me what to do. Don't tell me what to do. Don't tell me what not to do. Don't tell me what to do. That's the issue. Not sin. Oh, I messed up. Okay. No. It's like, I'm going to do what I want to do. See? So it's an independent attitude, declaring yourself to be totally independent from God. For mankind, our self-will and acting independent of God is the foundation for all disobedience and sin. Now, I'm going to read that again. You can apply this to your children. Okay? Again. I just won't read it. The nature of disobedience is not immorality or wrongdoing, but the independence which leads us to say, I am my own God. Now, you don't say, I am my own God. No, you're independent making your own decisions, which is saying you're your own God. For mankind, our self-will and acting independent of God is the foundation of our disobedience and sin. This is the way God looks at the world. Bunch of disobedient, independent people acting like they're God. So that's the way God looks at it. Oh, God looks at me because I did something bad. No, he said, you were born bad. What he's looking at is your independence of him. That's what he's saying. He looks at people, self-willed, totally independent. By the way, those go together. Self-will, and I want to be independent. I want to be self-willed. That doesn't sound so good. So he says, I want to be independent. But God knows what that is. So he's given us a picture here to understand the human race as he sees it. This is how God sees it. You can say, well, I don't disagree with that. Okay. But that's what God says. You know. So he's telling us something of his viewpoint. So what we have with Adam, one law, one trespass, like it says in Genesis 2:17. And here it is. God said of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat. For the day you eat of it, you will surely die. One law. That's it. He said, well, why? It was just the fruit. Was it the fruit? Was it the tree? No, it's the fact God said, don't do this. But being self-willed and independent of God, you eat it. The sin is self-will. The sin is independence of God. See? Now we can back up, and this is God's view of the world, of all these people. Well, that person did this and that person did this. Your most self-righteous people that are godless but self-righteous, they don't believe in God, even in their self-righteous, and we saw this in Pharisees, they were self-willed and independent of God. See, that's the issue. That's how we all fall into one bucket. See? Now, so we have this view. So God's showing us this, and this is what this verse is about. So Adam did eat of the tree, and he immediately died. What did Adam and Eve, a little test here. What did Adam and Eve do immediately after they sinned? Hid. They hid. Isn't that amazing? And so, what we have here is all of Adam's offspring. Okay, we got all the people are coming from Adam, and they have his nature. All of Adam's offspring would be soulishly, physically alive, but spiritually dead and separated from God. And they hide. Why would you hide from God? You don't want him to see you, and you don't want to hear what he has to say. And so here's the picture that we have here. So what we have earlier on in Romans chapter 5, we're back to Romans now, and this is why Paul says in Romans chapter 5, verse 12. So this is a few verses before. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man. That's the point here. What about? No, this is where sin came. It's in the very core of the human race. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin. And so death spread to all men because all men sinned. Because they're just like Adam. Amen? Independent. I didn't do that sin. And I work hard on that. And I compare myself. No, your big issue and their big issue and everybody else's issue is just your own God. I'm independent. I'm self-willed. See, that's the issue. That's the issue. And that's what's coming out here. Of course, it's sin. And it manifests itself in all sorts of stuff. It also manifests in evil stuff. But it manifests into something that's just disgusting to God. And that's self-righteousness. Self-righteousness is disgusting to God. Why did Jesus just embrace all the sinful, poor people and detest the Pharisees? He called the preachers of the time, you whited sepulcher. You're full of dead men's bones. Well, that wasn't very nice. Neither the prostitutes and everything else came. He just embraced them. Self-righteousness is one thing he really couldn't deal with. All right? What? Independent of God. You want to see righteousness? Look at me. You know? And that self-will, by myself. Well, I am righteous to show myself better. But you see the point. This is how, this is what God's looking at. This is what God's telling us. And we see this in Adam. We see this in Adam. Now, what I want to do is we go on. I want us now to just jump back to where we started. Romans chapter 5, verse 17. Okay, let's go back to Romans 5, 17. Man's claim of to self, acting independent of God, came through Adam. All mankind, therefore, is under the reign of death. The reign, again, look at that word, reign of death. Grasp it, reign. What does reign mean? I mean, death really reigns. It covers everything. You don't get out of it. So, I mean, that's a tough, big-time reign in life, all right? So now let's look back at Romans chapter 5, verse 17, the first part. And it all ties together. For if, because of one man's trespass, death reigned through one man, Adam. Now, God's making the point. All these verses in this chapter, that's why he's making the point. So we understand. This is where we are. This is where we are. All men, like Adam, fall short of the glory of God. Like Adam, all men die. Death reigns over mankind. The reign of death is total, complete, and all-encompassing. Nobody's getting out of it. Nobody. Nobody. There is no escape. There is no escape. So this is how God sees mankind. This is God's view of the world. Okay? When he looks at the whole world, this is his view. And what he sees, what God sees, it's hopeless. This is literally hopeless in God's eyes. There's nothing you can do for it. See? Now, praise the Lord. God has an answer. He has a countermeasure. He has a countermeasure by another man. Now, it's really important here. He refers in these sections to Jesus as the man. Is the man. Okay? So he is functioning in showing us the man. He's showing us the man is man should be. All right? So here's the second man. We have Jesus is the answer. Now, Jesus, we're going to look at Jesus. Okay, we're shifting gears to the other man. Okay, we've got the one man. Now we're shifting gears to the other man. And again, you look at the verse. It's one man, one man. He's making the comparison of men here. So Jesus, as a man, was obedient and fulfilled the whole law. You know, Adam, he's had one, blew it. You know, they said, and you read in the Old Testament stuff, there's like 680 some odd laws. You know, I mean, so when they just started rolling laws out, you know, so we're going to just pile them on like that. And it says Jesus fulfilled the whole, he didn't break any of them. He just piled them on. He didn't break any of the laws. And then he fulfilled prophecy and all sorts of things as a man. Okay, as a man. So Jesus, as a man, was obedient and fulfilled the whole law. He did something Adam never could do. I mean, he couldn't do the one. Give him 680, he's done. All right. Just couldn't do it. But more than that, and this is important, what was Adam? He is independent, self-willed. See? That's the key. Jesus, as a man, did not claim independence from God. That's something we overlook. Jesus, as a man, never claimed independence from God. He didn't act independent from God the Father. Whatever God told him, Jesus did. Is a perfect man. Y'all with me? And we're looking at the man. Now here's a verse, and there's a bunch of them, but look at this. I want you to look at John 5:30. As a man. John 5:30. Make a note. Gospel of John, chapter 5, verse 30. Jesus says, okay, just think about it. Jesus says, I can do nothing on my own. Really? I mean, really? I mean, this guy, I mean, he is healing people. I mean, there's all, I mean, calming storms. I mean, right? But he says, I can do nothing on my own. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just. Because I seek not my own will, but the will of him who sent me. That's what Jesus said. See, he is not self-willed. He does not act independent of God. He only does what God tells him to do. Now, I'm just going to pull some stuff out. This is just me. I always warn you about my commentary. Okay, this is my commentary. It's like Jesus calmed the storm. You know, but he can't do anything on his own. There's a big storm. God goes, Jesus, calm it. Okay, down. Y'all with me? God comes up, blind. Oh, man. God, he can't see nothing. This guy, stone cold, blind. Man, this looks bad. God goes, Jesus, healing. He's healed. You see what I'm saying? He didn't act independent. He was not self-willed. He did what the Father told him. Now, those are my commentaries to make an example. I don't know exactly how that relationship worked. He could tell him, listen, you have these authorities and you do this as my will. And he went about and did it. But what the point of it is, he was under the direction of God. See, now you just applied it. Now, we know the people that don't know Jesus don't know God. So they're all, they're 100% in with Adam. Okay, self-will, and they're just trucking, all right? That's the world. That's how the world's trucking, all right? But within the church, how many people within the church? I'm going to do this for God. That's not what Jesus did. That's not what he did. He did what God told him to do. Now, we have the scriptures, and the scriptures communicate, and we want to read that. But you'll see that, why do this for God? Or you're in the church and God tells you something and you don't pay any attention to it. That's not good. See, that's self-will. God said, this is what I want you to do. I'm not doing it. Did you sin? Well, yeah, but what you really did is you're self-willed. Don't tell me what to do. I don't want to do that. I'm independent. I do what I want to do. Don't tell me. See, that's the worst sin. That's the worst sin. You see what? But that's what this is saying. And this is the this is what's happening in chapter 5. That's what's being exposed in chapter 5. And you know, it kind of really kills self-righteousness. It really was. Look at me, and this is what I do. And God's going, oh, man. All I see is you. Self-righteous you, independent of God, trying to imitate God. And you are, by the way, a poor imitation. That's what he's saying here. And again, why was Jesus just vicious towards the Pharisees? They were the religious leaders. And they implemented the law, you know, to be good and to reflect God. And what they were self-righteous. Self-righteous. Not depending on what God said and doing what God said. They worked out of themselves to be righteous. Never works. Never works. Okay, so it's like, oh my gosh. So we see, but you see this, it's so important here. What did Jesus say? I can do nothing on my own. But how can all these miracles flow through? Because we listen to God and we do what God says. We walk with God and we move with what he says, because he is the one that created the whole world. And I always go back to creation. There's nothing. And he goes, speaks, and it's there. See, so God's got this thing down. You know, he speaks and it appears. Oh, there's no way this will work out. Well, for it to work out, all God has to do is speak. So that's what he wants us to know. And so we're just resting with God. Okay, man, here comes a storm. It's blowing everything crazy. And I'm sleeping. The disciples are waking me up. You know, the storm didn't wake him up. The disciples, you know, you can't sleep around these guys. Just calm it. You're okay, but these guys are going to have a heart attack. Okay, calm. You see the difference? That's what this is saying. That's what this is saying. So let's look at this. Continue to look at this. The one man, Jesus, now follow me here. The one man, Jesus, the second Adam. That's what Jesus is. He's the second Adam. Wait a minute, God. There's a few folks in between Jesus and Adam. There's some folks. Well, there's Adam, the second Adam. And some versions say the last Adam, which is okay. Well, now he's the last Adam. Now, we don't even make the cut. We're not even in the middle. He's the last Adam, and so we're nothing. We just slipped out. You got Adam, second Adam, or Adam, and the last Adam. Why does he say that? There's only two people. Now, literally, when I used to read through that, I would say that. God, where's everybody else? You just got these two guys, you know, because he's calling Jesus a guy right here. So, we have Jesus, the second Adam. And the second Adam countered the failure of the first Adam. Now, do you see why he said one man? Because it was one man countered the action of another man. Here's the mighty God, and he countered the one man. Ooh, we knew that. We go, rah, rah. But that's not what it said. It said the one man countered the other man. The man is God intended man to be, countered the failure of the other man. See, so bring it down to our level so that we can embrace it. Y'all follow me? He just brought it to our level. The man is man was supposed to be, countered the man that failed. The second Adam countered the first Adam. Or the last Adam countered the first Adam. See? So, now, what's interesting, if you go to 1 Corinthians, he does the same thing. He goes through the whole thing again. There's just two people. This focuses on two people. Why is he doing that? So now let's go in 1 Corinthians, and he does the same thing. And so if he's doing the same thing, he's really making us a point that we need to grasp, all right? Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 45. I'll give you time to get there. I mean, you could stay in Romans 5 because it just says the same thing. But we're going to see how fascinating this is. Romans 15, verse 45. And he just starts off the conversation here. It says, thus it is written. Okay, there we go. Thus it is written, the first man, Adam, the very beginning, the first man, Adam, became a living being. That's how he created it. He became a living being, relationship with God, the first man, Adam. Then it goes on to say, the last Adam, there we go. We just skipped multitudes of people, just multitudes. And he said the last, so there's nobody afterwards, just two guys. First man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. Okay, so we got this last Adam. He's got a little more going on for him. Okay, the first man, Adam. But the last man, Adam, which is Jesus, he became a life-giving spirit. Not only was he alive spiritually, but he became a life-giving spirit. So Jesus shows us something of the completion that was the failure of the first Adam. Okay? Now, so through Jesus' obedience, now what? Jesus, the Son of God, magnificent, holy one. No, it's the Adam. It's the guy. It's the last Adam. I mean, he just brings it, he keeps bringing it to the earthly level here, okay? Through Jesus' obedience, he would give life to others. See, Jesus didn't give life to others immediately, death or resurrection. But through his obedience on earth, he therefore earned the capacity to give life to others. All right. So, what we see here, that his obedience, we just read in Romans, what? He fulfilled the whole law. Fulfilled everything. Therefore, what we see here, the attachment of the first man, Adam, and the attachment of the second man, Jesus, reveal their destiny. Okay? The attachment of the first man reveals his destiny. The attachment of the second man reveals his destiny. Now, again, I keep driving home the point because he's calling Jesus a man. And so that means, well, he is a man. Well, he means it's the Almighty God, and he's going to call down fire, and he's going to... No, he's a man. He's just like me and you. And that's what he's driving home. He doesn't want us to put him out there and like, whoa, man, and we're down here, and we're the little peons, and we got to be fearful and watch out, and we have a mighty God, and one day he'll save us. He's a man just like you. He's a man just like you. Why does he have to be a man just like me? Because I'm going to show you, God says, I'm going to show you what how a man is supposed to behave. He's a man. You with me? This is, okay. So 1 Corinthians 15, verse 47. Again, the terms. The first man, okay, Adam, was from the earth, a man in the dust. That's his attachment to the dirt. So you put it there. All these people in their glory without Jesus are attached to the dirt. They're dirt people. I mean, it's like God look out. Yeah, the dirt people. I mean, it's just like, good grief, you know. But look what I did. I don't, man. No. See? So it was the first man was from the earth, man of the dust. The second man was from heaven. Where's his attachment? Heaven. See, the whole clue. His destiny is based on who's attached to. He's attached to heaven. That's his destiny. See, and I'm trying to make a point, not to be sarcastic. But you got your dirt people, and they come and there's a storm. Oh, we're dead. You know, we're done. We're finished. And you got your people that are attached to heaven, to God's storm. Well, God's got to take care of this. See, dirt people and heaven people act different. Dirt people know what dirt's doing. Dirt people know how dirt works. Dirt people know how you got to work the system. Heaven people know how God works. Heaven people know how God works the system. And so what determines whether you're a dirt person or heaven person is what you're attached to. Adam was a dirt person. Second Adam is a heaven person. They were attached to something different. So that's what this verse is saying. Now, so the first man was physical and lived according to the physical. The second man was spiritual and lived according to the spiritual. Now, what Corinthians does, it really brings it home to us. It really brings it home to us now. So now he's telling us, he's asking us a question. You want to be a dirt person? You know? Or you want to be a heaven person? Now I want to tell you about again, I don't mean dirt like dirty. I mean dirt like from the ground. Okay? Your dirt people are going to be successful. They're going to make a lot of money. Some of them really mess up. But some of them really do good. You know? I mean, dirt people can do a lot of fascinating stuff. Or do you want to be a heaven person working at the direction of God that no matter what comes your way, say, okay, God, how you want me to handle this? And I'll call it from you into being. That's a heaven person. See, and so dirt people and heaven people don't work the same. And the question, and God said, that's right. And he goes, and then God goes, I put the world in two things. You got dirt people and you got heaven people. Say, well, what race are you? What nationality? Not making a difference. You're dirt people, you're heaven people. That's how God looks at it. See? And it all comes here. He attributes to first Adam or the second Adam. Second Adam. Now, now he makes the application in Corinthians to us. We have a choice. Now look at 1 Corinthians 15, verse 49. Now we are also to live spiritual, like the second Adam, the second man. We're to live like the second man. There's a reason for the terminology here. 1 Corinthians 15, 49. Just as we have borne the image attachment to the man of the dust. Okay, now how did we do that? This is how we did it. We got born. We were born as a man of the dust. That's how, because we came from Adam. That's how we came into the world, is a man of the dust. Why? Because now explain to us how all this happened because of Adam's independence of God. And so he gives birth to all these little creatures that will be independent of God. Bless their little heart. Okay? See? Now, so that's why. So we
just as we have borne the image, the attachment of the man of dust, we shall also now bear the image of the man of heaven. You were a man of the dust, now you're a man of heaven. You're going to make a change. You're not going to be attached to the world, you're going to be attached to heaven. You make a change. You're not going to be like the first Adam, you're going to be like the second Adam. That's the point. Man, Adam, person. Adam and all the godly, holy Jesus will fall down in his feet. Well, yeah, that's true, but no, the man. The man. You're just like the man. The man's just like you. And your attachment is to the man from heaven. See, he's bringing it to us in application. See what I'm saying? So we change our attachment. Okay, how do we change our attachment? Oh, by the way, chapter 3 of Romans. He already told us that. How do we do it? Chapter 4 of Romans by faith. He's already told us that. He's just telling us now, this is what you're doing. You need to do it. You need to change the attachment. You need to pay attention to what I said in the previous two chapters. Previous two chapters, all right? Now, his believers, are y'all ready for this? Man, Jesus is a man, we're a man. Okay, ladies, mankind, you know what I mean. Okay, so Adam's a man, we're a man. Same, we're the same. Jesus is a man. He's just a man, all right, in this context. So as believers, we're just like Jesus. Now, that's what this is saying. As believers, we're just like Jesus. Now, it's hard, again, oh, the Holy Jesus. It's hard to be like that, you know. But that's where he gave us a man. I want you something, you can see how a man is supposed to operate. That's the reason I'm calling him man. That's the reason I'm calling him second Adam. Because I want you to see how a man can operate, because that's the way you are supposed to operate. Are you a man? Are you a woman? Then you're supposed to operate like Jesus. That's what he's saying. That's who you're supposed to be. And that's what he's making the point here. And so then we see something. If that's true, we need to function like the second Adam. That means when we function like the second Adam, man, we're Christ's image functioning. We're an heir of God functioning. We are a co-heir with Jesus functioning. As Jesus functions, we are to function. We are a co-heir. We are joint heir with Jesus. As he functions, we are to function. Are y'all with me? That's what this says. Now, we're going to get there later on, and I can't wait to get there, but I want you to look at this. I want you to turn to Romans chapter 8, verse 17. Now, see, Paul's building up to this, and so I'm going ahead. You know, I'm going ahead of Paul, which is really dangerous. So I'm going to jump ahead to drive home this point, which bothers me because evidently he didn't think it was necessary. So, but anyway, okay, look at Romans 8:17. Everything we talked about. Okay, everything we talked about. Romans chapter 8, verse 17. We are children of God. Now wait, Romans chapter 3. By faith, Romans chapter 4, okay? Second Adam, going on. We are children of God, and if children, then heirs. Heirs of God. Joint heirs with Christ. Somebody ought to say, you got to be kidding me. I mean, you got to be kidding me. I mean, I know what I'm going through. I know what's going on. You have got to be kidding me. Now, I want you to think about this. First Adam, second. Only two people in the world. Only two people he's talking about. Okay, doesn't even talk about us. Those two people. And he goes, you're like Adam. We are. I mean, that's how we can. He said, I want you to be like the second Adam. Not like Jesus. I want you to be like the second Adam. Because what he did, he operated as a man is supposed to operate. That man that you saw operated the way I want him to operate, and I want you to operate that way. You operate like the second man, and we can relate as a man. We might think, oh, good grief, but no. Amen? I mean, that's what this is saying, making a point. Do you see how he's bringing this down so we can embrace it and not look at it as something way out there? Way out there you can't see. Way out there you can't touch. Way out there you can't be there. And he said, don't be selfish, self-willed, independent of God, because that's bad. No, it's because you're totally disconnected from me. You're totally disconnected. So God, whatever you say, whatever you tell me, wherever you want me to go, whatever problem, God, I know you have it. I'm going to stand here until you work it through. It's our attachment. We think different. We think different. And he's saying, have different attachment. Let me work through you. I remember reading and said, these kids, it's supposed to be true. And they got said, you can do all things through Christ and stuff. And they went through, and there's a big flood river. And they said, we're just going to walk around the water, you know, and we claimed Jesus and walked in, and they all drowned. They washed away. That's a true story, you know. What was this book? And you think, well, you know, God doesn't work. God doesn't do what he says in this Bible. No. You don't go jump in the lake and try to walk on it. You're going to drown or get really wet. Unless God said, hey, Wallace, I want you to go through that. And then we know it's God, because I know why I just say. See, God, no, I don't know if I'm going to do that. That's my first reaction. See, that's a good hint. It was from God. I don't know about it. See, because it's like Jesus didn't just go around calming all the storms in the universe. He calmed the storm that God told him to calm for his purposes. As a Christian, he's going to tell you, need something for me, and he's going to tell you something for you, and he's going to give us all different. Now, the scripture is true to all of us. The scripture is true to all of us, all right? But he's going to use us in different ways. He gives us different gifts. See, so, but the point of this is we see that it is God and what he's saying about us in here in Romans, and think about it. We are the image of Christ. We're his image as a man. As a man. We're his image. We're just the way we're supposed to be. And also, we're heirs. You know, if you're heirs to $1 billion, it's like, man, you're saying, good. We're heirs. Says this, Jesus is an heir. We're heir. We have everything Jesus has. That's the reason he came as a man. If he wanted to come in God, he would just like lightning strike and come down and holler and everybody be scared of that. No, he came as a man. Because we are heirs. We behave like him. And then it says this, we are fellow heirs, we're joint heirs. What Jesus have, we have. Now, the way I read that, what Jesus has, we have for all eternity. And Jesus is God and Jesus is the Son of God. But what I see this is there's a fellowship in the joint heirs, and there's a togetherness in heaven with Christ for all eternity that's equal. That there's a covenant under the direction of God. We're joint heirs. Why else would you say that? Why would you say you're joint, your fellow heirs, just like Jesus? Well, I'll be glad I get to heaven and I can be a joint heir. You know? But no, he showed you how to be a man here. That's the issue, is here. I showed you how to be a man here. Now, so we see these verses, and I know I'm talking too long, my iPad went off. So when we see this, now, the truth is, we reign in life with Christ. This is what the Bible says. Whether we do it or not, this is what God says. True. So we can be of ourselves and self-assistant. No, I don't, or whatever. We reign in life with Christ. Our reign is much more than the reign of death. How encompassing and powerful is the reign of death? No, Our reign is much more than the reign of death. We will not live according to the physical, but we live according to the power of God. Oh, this is too terrible. I want someplace where I'll be happy. No. He puts his tough people in tough spots. He puts his tough people in bad situations so the power of God can be seen. See? Now, let's go back to Romans 5:17. Okay? Now remember, the first part of Romans 5:17 was one man, Adam, death reigns. That's what the first part said. Everybody got that? That's important. One man, death reigns. All-encompassing, total, can't escape it. Death reigns. Right? Now, in the same verse it says, much more. Now you tell me, much more than what? Think. Much more than what? First Adam, death reigns. Much more than what? Much more than death reigning. Now that's a lot. Is that a lot? Much more than death reigning. Death covers the whole thing. All encompassing. Absolutely. Much more than death reigning. Much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. One man, death reign. One man, life reigns. There it is. Be like Adam, be like Jesus. And I'm telling you that we reign life. We reign in life through one man, Jesus Christ. Okay, so that's how he completed this whole thing. And that's why they're just two men. You're going to behave like Adam. You're going to behave like Jesus. You're going to be like the first Adam or the second Adam. But I made you through Jesus to be like the second Adam. Jesus was the fulfillment. He was the fulfillment. It's the second Adam. And you're going to behave like the second Adam. As total, complete, all-encompassing is the death, reign of death, much more is the total, complete, all-encompassing reign of life. Do you see what he's... I mean, you should go out to dinner when you leave church. I mean, good grief, look at this. Holy cow, you reign in life more than the reign of death. We have much more than the reign of death. We have abundance of favor and power, the free gift of righteousness, and we reign in life with Jesus. Reigning in life means that we reign with Christ now, which will reach its fullness in the hereafter. Just as Christ reigned in life through the Holy Spirit on earth, we likewise will reign in life now with Christ through the Holy Spirit. Now, we bring the kingdom. As Christ reigns, we reign. Now. Let us show you something, how Jesus reigned. Let us show something. I want you to look at Matthew 12, 28. And there's a lot of verses I'd like to turn to. But look at Matthew 12, 28. I want you to look at Jesus reigning. And we're going to look at that, and we're going to say this is the way we're to reign just like Jesus. And there's a lot tied into this. And remember, what did Jesus do? What did Jesus do? And pause, let you think on it. Whatever God told him to do. That's what he did. See, whatever the Father told him to do. Matthew 12, 28. This is what Jesus did. And he's showing us what... This is what Jesus did as a man on earth. But if it is by the Spirit of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Where's the kingdom of God? Wherever Jesus is at business. If I cast out demons, I was listening to a guy, and this is just what he said. And I just want you to assess it. I'm just going to go down in the worst part of towns, and I'm just going to go through all the poor, evil places and cast demons out. And the guy said that. You know? Well, I'm thinking, sounds like a lot of me in that, a lot of self in that. What did Jesus do? But if it is by the Spirit of God in me, dwelling in me, that empowers me to cast out a demon, that's how Jesus worked. So therefore, based on the Spirit in me, speaking to me, telling me what to do, I'm going to do this because I'm powerful. Why are you powerful? Because the Spirit of God in me directed me to do what I'm supposed to do. But if by the Spirit of God I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God comes upon you. How did the kingdom of God come upon you? How did it come? Because I did what the Spirit told me. And when I did what the Spirit told me, the kingdom came. You see what? So be like Jesus. This is what he did. Be in the Word, walk with God, give everything to him. Don't worry about the stuff around you. We know that God is going to move and we're here for a purpose. And we're here and for the dark times. Because that's when he's going to show his power. I mean, if he calmed the storm, what did he have to have before he calmed it? A storm. I want to calm the storm on still waters. You know, I don't want to see a ripple. And not a ripple, okay? Well, you can't calm nothing. I'm going to tell you a story. And this is a sad but serious story, but I don't want you driving home. We know, Linda and I know, and there was a missionary who was meeting this a long time ago, and they met, and this guy was determined to be a missionary in South America. Determined. His wife didn't want to go. She flat didn't want to have anything to do with it, which was a concern for the people that were going to support him. She said, I don't want to go. But, you know, he wants to go. He has his heart set on this, and so I'll go. So that's always the bad thing. You know, if God needs to speak to both of you, you know, if he's just speaking to one of you, he's probably not speaking to either one of you. Anyway, that's just the thing you might keep in the back of your mind. So, but he's going, and everybody's hesitant. But he was so zealous. He was so wanted to go. And so, guys, he wants to go. So send him. And he'd been down there a year or so, and rebels overran that missionary thing and took him captive. And 3 years later, they killed him. Now, I mean, I'm not here to, but when I look back, everybody had a check in that. And see, zeal is not an indication of godliness. See? And you gotta, Lord, is this what you want to be? And I'm just telling you guys, if this is what I want to do and your wife's going, I don't want to go, I'm telling you, you probably shouldn't go, you know, or vice versa. You know? Because, you know, God has as much ability to speak to your wife as he does you. I know if you think you're the only one hears anything, but she really can pick up a lot of stuff. But you see what I'm saying? But it comes back to this. If it's by the Spirit of God I cast out demons, then the kingdom has come upon you. Okay, God, what do you want me to do? Now, this all ends with this. We reign in life with one man of heaven, with the man of heaven, Jesus. And we reign now. That's what the Bible says. We reign now. And so we can say, because we know what the man from heaven did, the 2 Corinthians 5:21. Because he kept the whole law. He knew nothing wrong. He did exactly what a man was supposed to do to perfection. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, for our sake, he made him, Jesus, to be sin, who knew no sin because he never did anything wrong, so that we might become the righteousness of God and like him, the second Adam. Like him, the second Adam, and behave like the second Adam as a man is supposed to behave. See, that's what the church is. It's men and women as they are supposed to behave. Trusting in Jesus, being led by the Spirit of God, and working in the power of the Spirit. Not keeping a bunch of rules. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you. We thank you for your word. Lord, oh my goodness, we just look at it. And God, what you say about us is literally more than we can comprehend. And Lord, we see how death reigns completely in the world. Total, absolutely total, complete, all-encompassing. And you go, death reigns that way. But you are to reign much more than death reigns. Lord, Lord. And Jesus showed us how it was done. Because he did nothing on his own. He only did what the Father told him to do. And then when he did it with the power of the God of all creation. Oh, what a wonderful position we are. God, we give thanks to you. And Lord, as we look at that, let us focus our eyes upon that. And you speak to us. And you continue to teach us to embrace that. And that you're doing great things. It's not about us doing great things. It's about you doing great things with us just listening to you. So we give you thanks, dear God. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen. Amen.